This is Frank Moreno on 77 WABC. You're listening to The Other Side of Midnight, the show where we like to explore the unknown, ask the questions about things and subjects that need questions asked of them, explore the unexplored, and try to explain the unexplainable. A gentleman who has made that his mission for a long time now is the chief field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network, and all of a sudden, UFOs have become a mainstream talk topic. And lo and behold, he is very much in demand. So I very much appreciate the time this morning. Chris, thanks so much for joining me on the radio.
Oh, great. Great to be here, Frank. Thank you.
So, Chris, before we get into the details of what might be in this forthcoming Pentagon report or anything else, explain to folks, what is MUFON, or the Mutual UFO Network? What exactly do you guys do?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the Mutual UFO Network is an organization, voluntary organization, that looks at all types of phenomena, aerial phenomena. We have reports of sightings all through the United States, and each state has a chapter, like New York chapter. I'm the assistant director. I was the chief investigator, got promoted to the assistant director of the state. So I kind of run the state with a great chief investigator, Johnny Lombardo, the two of us. We have a team of field investigators throughout the state that we give assignments to. It's almost like a police department. A bunch of detectives go out, you know, we call them field investigators. They go out, look at cases, see if they're legit, or, you know, if it's a real UFO sighting, or it's a drone or a plane, or, you know, some kind of natural effect. And that's what we do. And so the Mutual UFO Network has all these chapters throughout the world, and we investigate to see what the hell is going on with all these sightings.
And your work as a chief field investigator, how exactly does an investigation into a UFO incident take place? Where do you begin?
Well, we actually start with listening to what the person says. When we get a report, they report it to our computer system in headquarters. Headquarters will get a report from them. They'll send it to us. Very first thing that we want to do is contact the witness so we can corroborate the story that they reported, check it over, see if there's anything missed on it. Then if it's something where we can collect physical evidence, we might meet with the person. Of course, COVID has kind of stopped it, but before COVID, we would meet with the person. We would see if there's any type of physical evidence or something that we could collect, send it to our lab. MUFON has a lab. We would send it there and see what kind of analysis we would get with it. And so we would try to, we kind of follow the investigation as any type of forensic investigation would be. Collect the evidence, walk down the trail where the evidence leads us. Don't make any conclusions until you get all the facts.
So speaking of the facts, a lot of our listeners have been eagerly anticipating this Pentagon report that's scheduled for release this month.
Yeah.
Now, we got a little bit of a preview of it with the New York Times a week or two ago when they indicated that there was no evidence that these videos, which the Pentagon has confirmed the authenticity of, there's no evidence that these videos are actually depictions of alien technology, but there's no proof that they're not alien technology. I'm curious, based on what we've seen in the reportage of what's going to be in the report so far, what do you think of it?
Well, Frank, I don't think you're going to get much from the government, and I'll tell you the reason why. Is first of all, they're kind of soft soap this a little bit, where they can say, well, we don't know if it's the Russians, we don't know if it's the Chinese, we don't know if it's the, you know, technology that we're not understanding. They don't want to say alien technology. Once they go through that door, Frank, there's no turning back, and it's not that they're worried about saying that there's life on other planets. It's the secondary questions that they're going to have a hard time answering. They know that. Once they say, yeah, there's life on other planets, and they're visiting us, now people are going to say, well, that abductions, and do we have landings, and, you know, what is their intent to be here? Are they hostile? You know, have they met with governments? So all these other questions, how are they going to answer them? And that's what I think they're very afraid. The people that I've spoken to, have told me, it's not so much letting out about what these crafts are. Come on, Frank. When World War II, the Chinese never had a plane, and they were having sightings all over the world then. So how could the Chinese have that technology back in the 1940s? How could the Russians have that technology back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s?
Yeah, I mean, that would seem to explain why you're skeptical of the hypothesis that all these videos are depictions of foreign governments. As I spoke with somebody the other day, if the United States government really thought that China or Russia had planes capable of making these sorts of movements at this kind of speed, forget about it. We'd be at DEFCON 4.
Exactly. Don't you think our intelligence service would spend billions of dollars to steal that technology to get it from the Russians and stuff? Don't you think they would go to the scientists and say, hey, listen, you will live in America as comfortable as you want to be. You'll be one of the richest men here. We just got to get you and get that technology from you. Because we've done that before.
Well, you're exactly right. If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Chris DiPerno. He is with the Mutual UFO Network. He's a chief field investigator for that group. So does that mean you're expecting this report that's coming out this month to be dishonest or just omit a lot of key evidence? What do you expect the difference to be between what's in the report versus what the government actually knows?
No, I don't think they're going to be dishonest. I think they're just going to tell the public, we just don't know yet, and leave it at that and see how far they can get with that. We're still investigating this. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it's technology. Our intelligence service hasn't given us enough information in order to pursue this to give you a definite answer. But we're working on it. They've been working on it for 70 years, Frank. I mean, come on.
So what do you believe the government actually knows about UFOs and possible extraterrestrial visits to Earth?
I think that they know that there's been actual landings. I think there's been actual abductions. I think there's been actual physical injuries from people who have encountered UFOs. I think the government has looked at all this stuff. I think we've recovered technology from crashes. And I do believe from all that, they just have certain things they have discovered. They don't know how to give it out to the public. And that's one of the biggest things that I think why they're not answering it. They don't have all the answers. They can't tell somebody to say, hey, listen, yeah, these UFOs are real, and we have no idea what their agenda is.
And that's what you believe the government knows, that they know that these UFOs are extraterrestrial in nature, but they don't know the motivations for them being here. That's what you believe the government's aware of.
That's correct. I just believe that there's a lot of unanswered questions with the biggest answer. I think they got the one big one solved and saying, yeah, they're not from this planet. Now, you know, what do they want? What are they doing here? You know, why are these abductions taking place? Are we just a bunch of lab rats for them? Now, remember, you know, there are experts saying that these sightings have the technology of 45,000 years advance. People who are really in the know about this subject have said, Chris, we believe they're 45,000 years advance of us.
Wow.
So what do they think of us?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's no doubt in your mind at all, though, that extraterrestrials have visited this planet.
Yeah, I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in it. But I'm a retired police detective. And I says, you know what? I think there's a bunch of garbage. I'm going to follow the evidence. And I followed the evidence. And I let the evidence talk for itself. And I come to believe that we're being visited by people from other planets.
And what do you say to skeptics now, people who may be listening to us now and were in the same position that you were and still have a tough time believing that aliens have visited this planet?
Follow the evidence. Look at the evidence. Don't listen to, you know, take a grain of salt what a lot of people are saying, but look at the evidence. Take a grain of salt of what I'm saying. Look at the evidence. Plenty of evidence is out there. You listen to the people. when you talk to people who've had sightings, when you talk to people who've had encounters, when you've had talked to people who've had all kinds of experiences with this phenomenon, a lot of these stories are very similar. And you look at the minute details, the small details, and see if they fit into place. And you will find that they do. And so if you look at the evidence, you can then make a rational conclusion for yourself.
What was the tipping point for you? What made you go from skeptic to believer?
The evidence. I looked at photographs. I've had them analyzed. I send them to people who can go right down to, you know, the tiniest piece of that photo, analyze it. I talked to experts who I gave investigations to and to redo my work or look over my work. And they came back and says, this is not a drone. This is not a plane. This is an object. We can't tell you what it is. I've talked to people who are in the know that are military people who have said, we have, you know, recovered technology we don't understand. We have recovered material we cannot make. And when we talk to some of these people who've had encounters or had sightings, you could see similar patterns in their stories. You could start putting together hypotheses and things like, for instance, UFOs love our water. They are very, very in tune with rivers and lakes and different things. And believe it or not, Frank, tons of police officers off the record will tell you, we've seen these things. We've seen these things go in the water. We chased them. Do you know how these high-speed chase police have had with a UFO? I mean, they have recordings of radio transmissions, you know, of this stuff. So why would a police officer put himself in jeopardy of losing his job and everything? Not more than one, but like three or four cars chasing an unknown object. There was very one right down by the parkway just outside of New York City years ago. I talked to those police officers.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I was talking to Chris DiPerno. He is a chief field investigator with the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON. Chris, what do you make of the uptick in UFO sightings that we've seen over the course of the last couple of years? Do you think there are actually more visits from extraterrestrials, or do you think people are just being more vigilant in taking note of them?
I think they're more vigilant. I think the COVID has made people look up at the sky. I mean, people were homebound for quite a while. And so a lot of people said, hey, I've got nothing to do. And so now I'm outside looking up in the skies and, oh, my God, what is that thing up there? And, you know, got to remember, probably 85 to 90% of the sightings we can explain. You know, a person will say, oh, you know, I saw this and I got a video of it and stuff. It's that other 10-15% we can't explain.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. What did you make of what President Obama had to say on this subject recently?
Well, I didn't see the whole clip, but I understand, you know, there were certain things that other politicians have said, and I think they want to come out and say certain things, but I think people behind the scenes are telling them, no. This is going to open up a whole can of worms. Until we get more answers, until how do we deal with this in a public relations matter, we can do it. So it's not just President Obama. I know Hillary Clinton wanted to look at this. If you looked at President Trump when he first said, nah, it's all nonsense, then he started changing his tune. And he started saying, well, you know, I saw some incredible things out at Area 51. And the biggest thing that made me thing is, you know, when a president has questions, that they know what the questions are, especially coming from his son. And for his son to ask him, you know, in an interview and say, what do you think about UFOs? You know that was planned. You know that that is a way to start putting out information. Or else they would say, don't ask that question.
In terms of why you think we've seen this subject move from supermarket tabloids and late night radio shows to the mainstream media, why do you think that is? It used to be the New York Times, the Washington Post, 60 Minutes, CBS News. They would never even think of covering subjects like this. Now it's a daily occurrence. Why do you think that's the case?
Because a lot of credible people have come out. For instance, that professor in Israel. And a lot of other scientists.
Avi Loeb, he's been a guest on the show. He's a very bright guy.
Right. And have come out and said, these things are real. And everybody is starting to say, oh, my God, I could take my tin hat off and come talk about this now. So it started a chain reaction when these scientists and other people started coming out because, I mean, obviously a historian or something of that nature talks about it. You take it with a grain of salt. But when you start having government people, military people, people who are lieutenant colonels, generals, you know, people of that nature who have been in NORAD or have been in top secret clearances, they're not going to come out and say anything like that that would ruin their credibility or ruin their ability to maintain their top secret clearance.
What did you think of that 60 Minutes piece that showed people like Marco Rubio and former Deputy Secretary of State Chris Mellon and former head of ATIP Lou Elizondo? What was your take on that?
I found it scary. And I'll tell you why it's scary, because the narrative is starting to change. Remember, they thought, well, maybe there's something up there visiting us. We're not sure what it is. And, you know, maybe, we don't know what their intention is. Now they're calling it a threat, a national security threat. So they've gone from something that says, hey, we're not really sure what this is, and, you know, it seems to be harmless, doesn't seem this. Now they're building a narrative that says, well, this is a threat to our airspace. This is a threat to our national security. It's been a threat to our national security all along because they've been shutting off nuclear missiles. Mm. They haven't taken that story seriously, but I mean, in front of everybody, they haven't taken it seriously. But behind the scenes, I'm sure they were going, you know, oh, my God, now what do we do?
In terms of MUFON itself, if people are looking to get involved or learn more about what you guys do, where do you think what's the best place for them to start in order to get more involved?
Right to the MUFON headquarters website. Gives you great information. You get to read about all these cases. You get to read about the investigations we've done. We've done some incredible investigations, especially in the New York area. Amazing stuff that people can learn about. And they're all up to date. It's not old stuff. You know, we have some historical stuff, but it's the stuff that's really Johnny on the spot that's happened, you know, two or three days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. We have sightings. We have different things. We're constantly getting reports in. And, you know, like I said, probably 85 to 90% we can explain what they are. At 10%, we get them here in New York, too. And they're just amazing, amazing investigations.
Chris DiPerno, I thank you very much for the time this morning. I hope we can chat again soon.
You got it. Anytime.
Thank you. If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give me a call, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. Straight ahead.